What's going on, guys? It's Nick here, back with another video. Today we have a fun one. I'm gonna go over five scorching hot takes about players I like this season, and we'll start things off with Derrick Henry. I think Derrick Henry is gonna have 20 touchdowns this season. I think a big misconception is about how Lamar Jackson steals rushing touchdowns. It's really not that true. Like, does he steal more than Tom Brady? Sure, he's gonna run for a couple, but it's not like he's stealing, you know, 15 rushing touchdowns like Josh Allen or Jalen Hurts last season. Lamar has 2, 3, and 5 rushing touchdowns over the last 3 years compared to Baltimore running backs who scored 20 last season. Now, we do need the good version of Baltimore for this to hit, which basically means we need Lamar to stay healthy. Since he became the full-time starter in 2019, they've had really good seasons in 2019, 2020, and 2023. They've gone 38 and 11 in those 3 years, running back touchdown totals in those 3 years of 19, 17, and 21. Two other years, we have injuries to Lamar Jackson, 18 and 16, running back touchdown totals of 15 and 11. So again, you just need Lamar to stay healthy. But I think the, you know, biggest thing for me is just understanding how good Derrick Henry is at the goal line compared to how productive Baltimore running backs have been, and they haven't been very good, right? Baltimore doesn't have these insanely good running backs. In Baltimore's 3 good seasons with Lamar healthy, they've been 2nd, 3rd, and 4th in rushing touchdowns with Mark Ingram, Gus Edwards, Justice Hill, J.K. Dobbins, Keaton Mitchell, and Melvin Gordon. I should not have to tell you that Derrick Henry is a lot better than everyone on that list, especially at the goal line. Baltimore is going to feed him when they get close. He's going to have an insane share of the team's rushing touchdowns, a team that, again, when Lamar is healthy, has been 2nd, 3rd, and 4th in rushing touchdowns. Like, I still cannot believe you can get him in the 3rd round of underdog drafts. He's been creeping up a little bit, but it's insanely good value right now. It's probably going to keep going up, but like, it just makes all sense in the world. If he scores 20 touchdowns, he's going to be well worth a 3rd round pick. Next up, Deontay Johnson. I think Deontay Johnson is going to lead the league in receptions. He commanded 9 targets per game over the last 4 years. We know he's been a target hog. That's his specialty. But the efficiency has been a little bit up and down. He's got little varying levels of quarterback play, and especially when he had, you know, the years of Ben Roethlisberger towards the end there, when Ben couldn't throw the ball more than like 6 feet downfield, you know, kind of hurt him. But last season was actually the most efficient of his career, even again with very poor quarterback play. He gained 8.2 yards per target, 14.1 yards per reception. I feel like a lot of people will kind of do a double take when they see that. Like, everyone in their mind is like, yeah, Deontay, like 10 yards per reception, right? 14.1 yards per reception last season. Very strong numbers. And, you know, the biggest reason for the take is that Deontay is exactly what the Panthers need at wide receiver. Bryce Young was bad as a rookie. There is no denying that. There's no sugarcoating that. He was not good. But there's also no denying he had zero help, right? Like, he was forced to just feed Adam Thielen for most of the season because absolutely no one else could get open. That resulted in a 33-year-old Adam Thielen being 4th in receptions across the NFL through week 11 before the wheels started to really, you know, fall off second half of the season. What do you really expect from a 33-year-old wide receiver? And can't expect a lot from him moving forward, but he was great, you know, for that like first half of the year. Again, 4th in receptions through week 11, but you know, second half of the season for older players is a little bit tough. Now, I'm not saying that Bryce Young is like, you know, secretly amazing and that all it's going to take is one player to start getting open a ton and he's going to post better numbers. But again, no one was open last year, and it's a little tough as a rookie to come in there, drop back, no one's open. Who are you throwing to? Like, he basically decided like, all right, if no one's open, I'll try and get the ball quickly to Adam Thielen. But other than that, what exactly did you expect him to do? Last season, Deontay Johnson ran every single route in the route tree at an above average rate. That is short, intermediate, and deep. He had above average success in all of them. He had elite success rates versus man, press, zone, as he has done in every year of his career, because he is an elite wide receiver. He can play inside. He can play outside. He is what the Panthers need. They need someone to get open. He is one of the best route runners in football and one of the best at just gaining separation. And contrary to popular belief, it is not just short. It was short for a while with Big Ben because Big Ben couldn't throw the ball downfield, but Deontay can get open anywhere on the field. And given that this running back room consists of Deontay, a now 34-year-old Adam Thielen, a bust in Jonathan Mingo, and then a Mingo clone in Xavier Leggett, there's a very real chance that Deontay's target share pushes into the upper 20s. It could have some weeks where he's got like a 40% target share. That won't hold over the whole season. But if you told me, hey, Nick, I'm from the future, he had a 29% target share this season, I would say that makes sense. There's no one else to throw to on this team. He's going to rack up a ton of receptions, and you can get him as a wide receiver 44 off the board on Underdog right now, late seventh round in a redraft league. If there were redraft leagues happening right now, that would be like the ninth round. That is a great way to spend your ninth round pick. Next up, Jaylen Warren. Jaylen Warren will finish as a running back one this season, not the running back one, a running back one this season. Now, it probably takes Najee getting traded at some point for this to fully hit, but it's pretty early in the summer. And I think the fact that that's a possibility when you're drafting him right now adds to his upside, right? Because obviously, if Najee were to get traded, Warren goes up to what, like a fifth or a sixth round pick, maybe even... probably not fourth, but I would say he probably jumps to like a fifth round pick on Underdog, maybe fourth round in redraft leagues. But even if that doesn't happen in the summer, doesn't happen during the season, we could see a pretty big shift in the touch split this season. Warren has been significantly more efficient than Najee Harris in his first 2 years of his career. And while many times, you know, you can argue that's due to limited touches, right? Like you have a running back who's getting like 100 touches a season. They're very efficient. It's like, okay, but if you give them 200, they're not going to be as efficient. He had 210 touches last year, and his yards per touch dropped 0.1 from 5.6 to 5.5. Najee's been at 4.4, 4, and 4.2 in his three-year career. Steelers declined his fifth-year option. They now have Arthur Smith at offensive coordinator. Now, of course, we hate Arthur Smith because he's an awful coach, only has a job in the NFL because of his dad. But if we learned anything from last season, it's that he's not just going to give the higher draft pick the featured role. Like, Tyler Allgeier was horrible last season. He was unbelievably terrible, super inefficient. And yet Arthur Smith gave him 204 touches even after spending, you know, a top 10 pick on Bijan Robinson. Now, I do get the risk that, you know, Najee stays, that Arthur Smith has no idea how to evaluate talent, no idea what efficiency is, and he keeps pounding the rock with Najee because he loves inefficiency, right? Like, that is an actual risk. He looks at it and he's like, well, Najee gets me 4 yards. You know, Warren gets me 5.5. Let's give Najee the ball more than Warren, right? That makes sense. But in my opinion, there's an equally likely chance that either Najee is traded, as there's some rumors in right now, he's traded before the season starts or during the season, or that Warren does overtake Najee as the touch leader. And given Warren's efficiency, this is the big part. He doesn't need to be like the clear number one running back, 300 touches, Najee's getting 100, and it's like, you know, just he's the touch leader in the NFL, and that's how he's being a running back one in fantasy. If he averaged 2.4 more touches per game last season, he would have been a running back one. So we're not looking for 20 carries and 5 receptions every week. We need about 2.5 more touches per game, and he'll be a running back one. I think that makes him a phenomenal value in round 8 on Underdog. You've got upside with the trade, upside with the potential injury, upside with the potential shift in touches, all upside. And the downside is he does what he did last season and still outproduces his ADP. But again, if some of these things happen, he could be a running back one in fantasy. Fourth hot take this season is that Dalton Kincaid will finish as the tight end one overall, thanks to 100 receptions. Obviously needs a lot to go right to hit that 100 reception mark, but they lost Stephon Diggs, Gabe Davis, Trent Sherfield, Deontay Hardy. Just those four players, not even counting some of the running backs that likely will not be getting touches this season, just those four frees up a jaw-dropping 284 targets. So yes, Keon Coleman, Curtis Samuel, they're going to take a chunk of that. Shakir's probably in line for a spike as well. They'll probably waste a handful of deep balls on Marquez Valdez-Scantling, but that's an insane number of targets to fill. And realistically, you know, if we predict who the most targeted player is going to be on this offense, I don't know that Kincaid would be the favorite in that prediction. But again, if you were from the future and you told me he ended up leading this team, I wouldn't be surprised. It's not like he's a heavy underdog to be the lead in targets on this team. Like, Curtis Samuel has maxed out at 105 targets back in 2019. I think Shakir is good, but he's not a target hog. He's a good, like, third best wide receiver. Pretty unlikely he eclipses more than 80 targets. Probably more likely he's in the, like, 60 to 70 range. And so even being very generous with what Samuel and Shakir are going to do this season, you know, you can confidently project at least 150 extra targets that are not all going to go to Keon Coleman and Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Like, it's not going to go to Mac Hollins for 100 targets. Like, there are a lot of extra targets available. I think Kincaid's going to get peppered with targets this season. They're going to utilize him as a featured weapon in this passing game. And last year, like, it doesn't, you know, like, he doesn't need like 50 extra targets, right? He had 73 as a rookie. If he just develops a little bit as a player and then just takes over some of what's left over, again, 284 leftover targets, he could be great in fantasy. And last season, he only had 2 touchdowns, right? He's going to be on the field a ton as a featured weapon. He's going to have more than 2 touchdowns this season. And so realistically, he doesn't need to do all that much more to really elevate in fantasy. Again, the points per game numbers last season aren't amazing, but he probably should have scored like 4 or 5 touchdowns. And you add that in, he goes way up in the rankings. And again, I think it's a high end projection, but I think it's possible he hits 100 receptions. Does that, he'll be the tight end one. Final hot take is a quarterback, where I think the quarterback one overall in fantasy this season will be Anthony Richardson. Only played 2 fully healthy games as a rookie last year, finished with 20.9 points and then 29.6 fantasy points. In his 2 other games that he left early due to injury, he combined for about 40 snaps, and that's about 2/3 of a game. He scored 22.2 fantasy points over that time, including one game where he scored 17 fantasy points in the first quarter, then right at the beginning of quarter 2, gets knocked out with a concussion. Worth noting, I lost that matchup. I started Richardson by 0.1, and he left in the first quarter. So that was pretty unfortunate, early second quarter. Unfortunate there. But it's really just health, right? It's really just health with Richardson. He was amazing as a rookie, a raw rookie. Like, everyone thought he was super raw last season, was going to take time to develop. No, he was really, really good. And that's with, what, like 10 snaps with Jonathan Taylor. Didn't have A.D. Mitchell, who, you know, I sometimes, you know, think that A.D. Mitchell is getting a little bit overhyped. But A.D. Mitchell is still a very, very good football player. He's probably just getting overhyped in fantasy a little bit. He's going to be an awesome number 2 for them. You know, he's going to allow Josh Downs to really operate as that number 3 a little bit more effectively, and kind of take the inefficient Alec Pierce off the field. But, like, he didn't have that. He played 10 snaps with Jonathan Taylor. And he was fantastic because he's a cheat code in fantasy. Like, if you told me Anthony Richardson was going to play a fully healthy 17 games this season, I would take him in the early second round. That's how much of a cheat code his rushing upside is. And that's how special of a player he can be. Now, unfortunately, we don't know that. And that's why he's not going in round 2. He's going in round 5 on Underdog. That's probably like round 6 in a redraft or so. But what I want to highlight with this take here is that upside wins championships. That is just a fact. You got to hit not on every single pick. You can still draft some players that don't have the upside to be number one at their position because there's only going to be four that are number one at their position, not counting defense and kicker. But the point is, you're going to have to hit on someone who has an amazing season. And so targeting players who have upside to, like, Richardson could have the best season in the history of fantasy football this year. So targeting players with that level of upside is very, very valuable. And it's well worth it whether you're playing in a redraft league or on underdog. Like, all you have to do in a redraft league is pair him with a quarterback you like in the later rounds. There are plenty out there that have some upside. And if you don't hit on that quarterback, stream, right? You just take the, like, 25 plus points per game. He's going to score when healthy. If he happens to miss 4 or 5 weeks, figure out a streaming option in those weeks because you're getting those 25 points per game. Then you stream someone else for a handful of games. On underdog, you're probably going to end up losing, right? You're probably not going to win. Maybe you can advance, but you're probably not, like, taking down one of the tournaments if he ends up, you know, missing 7-8 weeks, especially if that happens at the end of the season, like if he had a season-ending injury. But we probably shouldn't be predicting a season-ending injury for Richardson. And realistically, it's worth the risk. Having a player who's capable of dropping 35, 40 fantasy points in a week is, in my opinion, just more valuable than being like, all right, I'll take McLaurin, Jaden Reed as my, like, fourth wide receiver. I'll take Alvin Kamara at running back too. Like, or you could go with someone who can score 40 and be a true differentiator. I don't know. I truly think in the fifth round, the upside you're getting with this pick is well worth the risk that he suffers an injury, because as we saw last season, you can't predict it. You know how many pocket passing quarterbacks last season went down with season-ending injuries? Burrow and Kirk Cousins are not players you went into last season being like, well, yeah, but that's only if they stay healthy, right? It happens to everyone. Target the players who have significant upside, and Richardson has league-winning upside. I think he will be the quarterback one this season. So those are five hot takes for the 2024 season. If you want to join some drafts right now, take advantage of some of these ADPs you've seen on the screen, and sign up for your first underdog account today using promo code FFA. You'll be able to draft right away, draft all summer, and they'll give you a deposit bonus of up to $250. You get a free pick'em special, and you'll get access to both my redraft and underdog rankings for free. It is not just the underdog rankings. If you're in a redraft league and you take advantage of this promo, you will get the redraft rankings as well. Best deal in the industry, and you'll be able to draft all summer long, which is the best part of fantasy. So that'll do it for this one. Hope you all did enjoy. If you did, how about hitting the like button? How about subscribing to the channel if you're new here? Thanks for watching.